Hey everyone, I'm Jeff Holland. I'm a program manager for Microsoft Azure working on Logic Apps, and I want to go through an end-to-end scenario with you in a few different parts. And we're going to build a serverless solution using Azure Logic Apps and Azure Functions. We're going to get the solution up and running, and then we're going to go through the process of how we can automate and have continuous integration, continuous delivery, and instant rapid deployments across the entire solution. So stick with me. This is a bit longer of a workshop than I've normally done. So I've broken it up into a few parts, and I encourage you to pay attention, pause it, and work through this as well with me. I go through all of this step by step. So first and foremost, I want to show some of the benefits that you get from serverless technologies. So some of the key serverless technologies in Azure today are Microsoft Azure Functions and Azure Logic Apps. Azure Functions allow you to do serverless compute, execute little bits of code on demand, and Azure Logic Apps let you do serverless workflows to do orchestrations or integrations and connectivity into other services, all serverless. So what does serverless mean and what does it mean for you? Well, it's reduced DevOps, right? You're not worrying about any of the infrastructure. You're really not worried about anything with the platform other than the core logic to make your system run, which really provides a great pathway to a reduced time to market. Serverless solutions allow you to only focus on the key parts of your solution. You don't have to get bogged down in the weeds and figuring out, well, how is this going to be hosted and what do I need to do to make sure that it's resilient and that it's always available and that it can scale? All those factors are taken for you. And it's per action billing. So you only ever pay for what you use. You're not paying for scale. You're not paying for your max instant count. You just define what you need. You call it on demand. And the amount of times you call it, the amount of times it runs, how long it runs, all comes down to how much you pay. Which is great for development as well, because as you're developing these solutions, there's no upfront costs, and really you're not paying anything because you're not using it in production workloads. So let's go through the scenario that we're going to build together. We're going to build an automated email system, and we're going to do all of this with serverless components. And after we build the solution, as I mentioned, we're going to take those serverless components, we're going to show you how you can deploy them instantly into any of the many Azure regions in the entire world and have the whole solution ready to go in a matter of seconds. So we're going to build an automated email system. Let's pretend it's a library. You come, you check out a book at a library. A few weeks later, you're going to get a mail notice to say, hey, make sure you return this book, okay? So in this case, we're going to upload a list of a bunch of customer information, you know, when's the due date, what's the customer name, what's the customer email. And based on that FTP server data, at the end of the day, we need a bunch of emails to get sent out to customers. So if you were thinking about building this all from scratch, you're going to have to go figure out, you know, where am I going to host this? I need to go talk to FTP. I've got to make sure I've got all that stuff going. I've got to figure out how I'm going to send my mail. I'm going to go read through some APIs. You don't have to do any of that, okay? We're going to do all of it with Azure Logic Apps and Azure Functions. And honestly, we're going to build the solution in just a few minutes. So let's go ahead and build the solution now. All right, so here's the CSV file that we're going to be working with. You see it's a pretty simple document. I have three columns here, the name, the email address, and the date. And I need my app to go through each one of these rows and send each of those customers an email. Now, I've created an FTP server already through a web app that I'm going to use to drop this CSV into. So I just need to create the Logic App by going into New, selecting Enterprise Integration, and I can select to create a Logic App in my Azure subscription. So now I just need to give it the information like a name and what region I want this deployed to. And I'm going to pin it to my dashboard so that we're ready to get started. Okay, so here we are now in the Logic App Designer. You'll notice we have a number of different connectors and services that you can trigger and integrate with. But in our case, we just need to listen to that FTP server and wait for a CSV file to be uploaded to that FTP server. So here it wants to know the connection information for my FTP server. So I'm just going to go ahead and grab that connection information from the FTP server that I'm using in my Azure subscription. All right, so once I've connected to my FTP server, what's great is I can even browse into my server and see the different files. In this case, I want to monitor this emails folder. I'm okay checking every 3 minutes for new files, but you could make it more frequent if you want. So this is going to get this CSV file in my FTP server. Now I need to find a way to parse the CSV and to do different operations. And that's where Azure Functions is going to come into play, right? So I need to write some code to go and parse this CSV and to send an email to each customer for every row. So let's go ahead and create that Azure function now. If you go in the new blade and under compute, you will see function app so that you can select and create a function app. Now, in this case, I just need to give it an app name. This does have to be a unique name, and I just need to drop it in the same resource group that I just put my logic app in. So while this is deploying, I want to switch over here and show you the two functions that we're going to be using. So this is a function app, and in our case, I actually want to split this up into two tasks because I'm trying to keep those tasks really contained, very useful, could be used in other scenarios. So the first function we're going to write is this CSV to JSON function, which will get a CSV file. I'm going to pass it in. You see I have a sample request here of a CSV file. And the code's going to run through that CSV file, and it's going to return back a nice array of rows. And each one of those rows is a JSON object. So now I can take that CSV file that I had from my server, and running it through this function is going to give me a nice JSON array. So now I have a second function, and this one takes a single row, in this case, a single customer row, and it outputs a nice HTML email. In my case, it's a really simple email. I'm just dropping in the customer's name and the due date. Obviously, this function could be doing some much more advanced things to emit a nice, well-formatted email for us. So now that our function app is ready to go, I'm going to go ahead and create a new one so I can click the new function button. And for talking to logic apps, make sure that you're using either the generic webhook JSON or generic webhook C# or F#, as those generic JSONs are the functions that are going to be automatically discovered by our designer. So for this first generic webhook C#, I'm just going to go ahead and paste in the code for that C# function. And then I'm going to create a second function, which is generic webhook JavaScript. And for this one, I can just paste in that JavaScript code for me. So I have my two functions ready to go. The code for both of these functions, by the way, is on GitHub, and it is linked to in the comments of this video. All right, now that our functions are there, let's show you how easy it is to call those functions from in a logic app. So I can go to my Add Action button and choose to select Azure Functions that are in my subscription. And it's going to list all the apps that I have in my subscription. So I can select one of those functions that I just wrote. Here's CSV to JSON, right? And here I need to pass in the CSV file from the FTP trigger that I had done before. So if you remember, it's expecting a CSV property in the body, right? So here in the request body of this code, it's expecting the CSV to be in the CSV property. So I'm going to give it a CSV property and drop in the file content. And you'll notice I surrounded file content with quotes because I do want it to be a string. So that's going to force it to be a string. So it's going to call that first function. And I want to show you something here really quick. So if I came here and I added a different step, in our case, we want to add a for each loop, right? Because we want to do something for each record, for each customer. And if I was to go and add a for each loop, the only thing the designer knows right now is that I'm going to have a response body, but it knows nothing about what that response body looks like. So that's where I'm actually going to add a second step first, which is a parse JSON step. And what this will allow me to do is take the JSON response of my function and parse it so that I know the shape of it and can use it. So I'm going to take the body, and here it wants a sample that I can use to generate. So I'm actually just going to run this and pull out my sample. And if I paste in this sample here, it will generate valid JSON schema for that sample. I could get that JSON schema from anywhere, but it's really easy to use that sample button. So here's my JSON schema. So now when I come in here to the for each, it actually knows, hey, you're going to have this rows array. And I can go ahead and select that and say for each row, and call my other Azure function, which for each row item is going to generate a valid email. So I'll go ahead and drop that here. And again, if I look at my function, it's just expecting that full object, right? A full object row, so it can pull out the name and the date. So I can check this input box, and select one of the items in the row in this for each loop, which will pass in the full object. And now all we need to do is send email. We could use a number of different email services to do that. I'm just going to use outlook.com, say to send an email. It's going to have me authenticate really quickly with my account. And once I'm authenticated, I'm able to go through the different inputs. I want to send this to the customer's email address. And so I'll just select that token here. For the subject, I can say, you know, book return reminder. And for the body, I want to drop in the response from that JSON to email function, which is that nice HTML. Okay, so let's walk through this quickly. I'm going to get a SC or CSV from FTP, run it through a function to convert it to JSON. For each JSON row, I'm going to get an email content, and I'm going to send that email automatically through Outlook.com. All right, I'm just going to save this workflow so it starts listening to that FTP server. And you see here, this is where I could see how often it's checking the FTP server. I could tell the FTP server to go check now. So let's go ahead now and drop in that CSV file that we were looking at to our FTP server. So I have here the FTP server. I want to delete the one that's already there because I want it to fire on new ones. And I'm just going to copy over that CSV, and that has those two customer records, and I'm going to drop that into our FTP server. And now what I can do is I can actually open back up the designer and I can click this run button. And what the run button will do is it's going to sit here and wait for the FTP to fire. Now, one thing I'll mention with how FTP works is that you'll notice on the FTP server that the timestamp is rounded, which means the FTP can sometimes take up to a minute to fire because it has to wait until that minute has completed to ensure it doesn't skip any files. But I can sit here and wait, and you'll see here that it's going to fire. And it's already successfully finished those functions, and now it's gone through and it's sent both of those emails. So here's our run. It went ahead and everything worked successfully. You'll notice the first function ran. It took that CSV file and it gave us this nice array. I was able to parse that array, and in my for each loop, I generated some emails. So you'll notice here there's an email, and here's the email that actually got sent out. It's sent to your@email.com. But everything worked, right? I can even go through and see the second email also sent. You'll notice the due date is different because our second row, the due date was a little bit different. So that's it. I've now created my serverless logic app that has automated my email system, and this thing's ready to go. I could come here, I can view all of the runs that are happening, I can manage this workflow, I can set up alerting on the workflow. That's building the solution. For the next part of this series, we're going to go through taking this Azure resource and pulling all the resources in that resource group and turning it into an Azure resource deployment template. And this is a template that you can check into source control. You can deploy an exact copy of those resources in a consistent manner through the Azure Resource Manager. So follow the link in the comments to part two to continue learning more about this. If you have any questions for us in the meantime, you can reach out to us anytime through email at logicabsemail@microsoft.com or on Twitter @logicabsio. Thanks so much for watching.